Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
When Goggins lived with me, his rule is we had to do something every day that sucked.
And anybody, not just Navy SEALs, but anybody that can accomplish anything that is hard.
Most of us fail in life because we're afraid of what everyone around you is thinking.
We waste so much time on our little gadgets. It's unreal. And we talk about we have no time.
Don't hit the snooze button. Why don't you hit the snooze button? Because you wake up already failing.
Because motivation's crap. Motivation comes and goes. When you're driven, whatever's in front of you will get destroyed.
Life's about self-discipline. It is about self-discipline. We tend to do the things that are easy. It builds no mental toughness. It builds no mental hardening. It builds nothing.
They see me now. They see me now as the guy that with his shirt off, who can do 4,030 pull-ups in 17 hours, who can run 205 miles in 39 hours, who can do all this crazy shit. But what they don't understand is they don't understand the journey that it took me to get to this point.
Never forget to train your fucking mind. In life, a lot of us work our fucking ass off trying to get to a better place, a place that makes us feel better about ourselves. Some people want to do ultra races. They're starting to PR during training. Some people want to be a lawyer or a medical student. So they're taking these practice tests and they're fucking crushing the practice test. But guess what happens? Once you get to the actual fucking event, your mind isn't ready. Your mind's not prepared. You've been studying, you've been training, you've been working out, but your mind's not prepared. Story for you. When I was 19 years old, I was going through the Air Force trying to be a pararescueman. I was doing push-ups, sit-ups, swimming. I was doing all this shit, knocking out of the park. One of the best in the class. But the second the fucking ops hard.
If you want to be great, you want to be the baddest motherfucker ever at what you do, you could be misunderstood by everybody. Because you're going to be so fucking obsessed and so driven to get there. That's what it takes. It takes every second of your fucking life. Anybody says balance? Yeah, balance is important for a lot of fucking people. It is. But if you want to fucking go to that edge where people do not like you, don't understand you, question everything you fucking do, you've arrived. When you are misunderstood to the point where fucking people think you're psycho and you're nuts and you're this and that, why are you in the fucking gym at 1 o'clock in the fucking morning? You just got through doing an op for fucking 13, 14 hours at the Ranger School, man, at the gym. What is wrong? You will never understand what is wrong with me. And that's why I'm so fucking glad you don't, because I'm in the right fucking spot. When people don't understand you anymore, you're in that spot of obsession and drive where people are like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? I don't want to talk to you, man, because you're not going to get it.
You're not the smartest person in school. I had that issue. So my big thing was how I addressed that problem was each thing that is wrong with you has to be a focal point. You can't look at this gigantic list and say, I got to change all this shit. My God, this is crazy. No, you take off the first one. I want to be smarter. For me, that was my thing. I have to become more intelligent. I have such a severe learning disability. I can't retain shit. I had to now get that one thing and then strategize in that one problem. How can I do this? I'm not going to learn like you. I'm not going to learn like anybody else. How am I going to figure this out? So I then figured out, okay, where are my strengths here? Where are my weaknesses in learning? All right, man, how am I going to do this? And I figured out a way to do it by just strategizing. So how I learn to this day, if I have a big manual to study, I will have to get a bunch of spiral notebooks from the daggone store. And each page, I have to write each page out, maybe 10 times. So there was a 1,000-page dive manual that I got 18 months before I went to dive school. Most people, I'm not smart, I'm gonna go see if I can pass this test. I realized, hang on a second, I'm not smart. How can I get past this? How can I get through this obstacle? I need to acquire this book 18 months in advance because it could take me 18 months to write down each page over and over again to then put it to memory. So when the question came up, I had written that question so many times down on paper that I can recall, okay, page 71 was where I remember seeing this, and I can recall it that way. And that's how I did it. So you got to strategize on each problem you have in life. Slowly break down that problem. Don't think about all the problems you have, just one at a time. And before you know it, you fix all these problems, but you cannot focus on all of them, just on the one thing at a time.
So today, I decided to try to PR my long run. So the first half of the run, I'm feeling great. My mind is clear, nothing going on. Think about nothing but my running pace, what I'm doing, my breathing, everything like that. Get to mile 15, I turn around, and the demons start to creep in. That inevitable wall is creeping up on me. When you push so hard, something's about to give. And I start to give. My mind started to break down. I started feeling my legs starting to hurt. I started feeling dehydrated. Started feeling sorry for myself. Started looking around. No one knows I'm fucking out here running. Why don't you go ahead and just stop? Call your girl, have her pick you up. And that's when I feel like a little bitch. And this is when your mind has to fucking change. You gotta start thinking, I'm the grittiest motherfucker in the world. Your dehydration? Fuck it. Lick your motherfucking lips. Your fucking legs are all sore. You feel like you got shin splints and stress fractures? No, you don't. You got sore fucking legs. Get out of your head and stay hard.
Life beat me the fuck up. Bad. I mean, I was knocked out in the 12th round of a 15 round, heavyweight bout. I was knocked out. But what happened was in the 12th round, when the challenger turned his back on me, I was getting the fuck up. And I got up and won the next three rounds and knocked that motherfucker out in the 15th round. So that's my mind about can't hurt me. I was hurt, man. Like, literally, I had to overcome so much those first 26 years of my life. And I still do every day today. It's not over. But the mentality of can't hurt me is just that. No matter what's in front of you, man, you have to face. You have to confront, you have to overcome and move forward. So my father, some of the kids that bullied me, my learning disabilities, all these things I went through in life, stuttering, has so many different issues, failing and failing and failing, I had to overcome them or they would have overcame me.
People have a hard thing to understand. I hate to run. And what makes me so crazy, it doesn't need more, is people go, well, why do you run if you hate it? What are you talking about? I don't want to take showers and eat either. I hate that too. That's life, man. It wasn't until I changed that mentality that I became somebody. I hated going to school. So guess what? I was dumb as shit. But if you can get through to doing things that you hate to do, on the other side is greatness. That's what people understand. By me running, I am callous in my mind. I'm not training for a race. I'm training for life. I'm training for the time when I get that 2 o'clock in the morning call that my mom is dead or something happens tragic in life. I don't fall apart. I'm training my mind and my body and my spirit so it's all one so I can handle what life is going to throw at me. Because the life I've lived, it throws a whole bunch at you. And if you're not physically and mentally prepared for that, you're just going to crumble. I was at Military Free Fall School with Morgan Luttrell. Marcus Luttrell, if you guys don't know, was the lone survivor, the guy. He was in a bad op went bad. He was the only Navy SEAL that lived. Long story short, you got to get the book, read Lone Survivor, great story. Morgan is Marcus Luttrell's twin brother, and I was there with Marcus. So what happened was myself and Morgan were in Free Fall School. At the same exact time, Marcus was in the worst incident in SEAL history. So I knew that Marcus might be dead. He wasn't dead, everybody else was dead. So I actually brought Morgan, I actually told Morgan, hey man, your brother was in a bad incident. I don't know if he's alive, I don't know what's going on. Long story short, Marcus is alive and I go on to wanna raise money for families. All these guys died, they all had kids. I wanna raise money for the Special Operations Warrior Foundation. It's a foundation where 100% tuition goes to these kids to go to college, you know, full tuition, whatever. So I found this great foundation. I'm going to raise money for it. So I said, you know what? I have to Google something that's evil, something very hard. I knew nothing about ultra marathons. I hadn't even run a marathon. I knew nothing about this world. So I Googled the top 10 hardest races in the world. And what comes up is a Badwater 135. It's a 135-mile race through Death Valley in the summertime. I thought it was a stage race. I thought it was a race where you run like 20 miles, set up camp, you know, barbecue outside, and then go run some more the next day. So I called the race director up at the race and said, hey, Chris, his name is Chris Kostman. I want to do your race. So we had a long conversation. You know, I was much heavier then, and I hadn't put running shoes on in over a year. I'm around between 240 to 270. My weight has varied a lot through the SEAL teams and out of the SEAL teams, so I was a heavy guy. But the long and short of it all was I hadn't put running shoes on in over a year. I was a big-time power lifter. I lifted weights heavy. That's what I did. I got back home from Iraq, went straight to free fall school, and then this happened. So I called Chris Kostman up on a Wednesday. He says, look, man, the only way you can qualify for my race is to run 100 miles at one time in 24 hours or less. There happened to be a race that Saturday, so 4 days later. And he said, if you qualify by running 100 miles or less in 24 hours, I will consider you my race. I'm going to cut to the chase. I signed up for this race. It was called the San Diego One Day, where you run around a 1 mile track for 24 hours to see how many miles you can get. My goal was 100 miles. So I got to mile 70, and I cleared 70 miles in like 12, 13 hours pretty quickly. But I was done. My feet were broken. I was stress fractures, shin splints. Muscles were tearing. I was in bad shape. No water. Didn't know what the hell I was doing out there. Had on some tube socks. It was just ridiculous. It was a clown show. So I sat down at mile 70, and at this time I was married. And I look at my wife, and I was like, I'm messed up bad. So I literally start to turn white. And when a black guy turns white, you're pretty f***ed up. Here I am. I'm all f***ed up in this chair. I'm at mile 70. I think I got 30 miles to go. I'm jacked up. I got to go to the bathroom, and the bathroom's like 20 feet from me. It's a porta potty. I can't get out of the f***ing chair. So I'm peeing blood down my leg, pooping up my f***ing back, and I got 30 miles to go. And I can't stand up because my blood pressure's all messed up. I've been in 3 hell weeks, ranger school, overcome so many obstacles in my life. This last 30 miles of this race is when I realized a human being is not so human anymore. We have the ability to go in such a space if you're willing to suffer, and I mean suffer, your brain and your body, once connected together, can do anything. And this 30 miles was the life-changing moment. I was out of it. I was in the worst pain in my entire life. I was, to me, on the brink of death. And I was able to chunk this 30 damn miles into small pieces. I was so driven. And I'm not going to say motivated, because motivation is crap. Motivation comes and goes. When you're driven, whatever's in front of you will get destroyed. So I sat in this chair, and I was so driven to succeed in this race. And at this time, everybody goes, were you thinking about the guys that died? And I'm not going to lie to you, I wasn't. This became a personal thing. This became me against this race, me against the kids that called me nigger, me against me. It just became something that I took so violently personal. And I broke this thing down into small pieces. I said, okay, I got to get nutrition. I got to be able to stand up before I can get off this curb and get off this chair and be able to go 30 miles. So I went through all these small steps, and I was able to stand up. And then from standing up, I was literally walking around with my wife at the time. And she goes, you're not going to make the time. She goes, you're walking like 30-some minute miles. I got to mile 81. And the second she said that I'm not going to make the time, I ran the last 19 miles nonstop. And I can show you right now when we get done with this. Matter of fact, I'm going to show you right now. This was years ago. And I had to put compression tape. And I had, so this was years ago. I had literally the size of half dollars. I had to get compression tape, and I taped up my ankles, and I taped up my feet, and that's how I got through that race. So I literally went through all of Bud's, my last SEAL training, with stretch fractures and shin splints. And how I did it was I would tape my ankles all the way up to my calf every morning. So for the first hour, the pain was excruciating. But what happened is my feet would go numb. And I did that every single day for 6 months. That's how I got through my third hell week, because I was so broken from the first two that the commander said, hey, the CEO said, this is your last time we're sending you through. So that's how I got the idea to do that. So with the right, and people may listen to this and say, this guy is sadistic, he's crazy, he's, no, if you know how I came up, you realize I was just a scared kid that found drive and passion to be something much better than what he thought he was. That's all it is. Self-talk and visualization are the two keys to my success. I believed for that last time, 19 miles, I was indestructible. Because I took myself in that chair, crapping up my back, peeing blood down my leg, shin splint stress fractures. I use all that for motivation versus negativity. I use it for motivation. I said to myself, who on this earth would still be going right now? You are. You are. You gotta be the hardest on the planet. Is it true? I don't give a fuck. At that time, it got me to the finish line of that race. I believed it. I believe it today. I believed it enough to where my body said, he's not going to stop. And that's, I took all the negative things. I need to go to the hospital, this and that. And I used it all. Who the hell could even get out of that chair? You did. Who the hell would even think about taping stress fractures up? You did. All those things I used for motivation.
This voice in my head guided me to the spot where I'm at today. And if you don't believe that you're here for a reason, your life will seriously hurt. And I start looking at my life and all the shit I went through as God put me, some God, whatever you believe in, put me here to go through this. And now I see all the hundreds of thousands of lives I'm changing by the hell I went through. There's a lot of power in that. So my purpose, as I started going through this journey, instead of looking at like, woe is me, God, man, why the fuck, man, why? I started looking at it as, it's the perfect training ground. You knew exactly what you were doing. You knew exactly what the fuck you were doing, obviously. You put me in every situation possible to tell a story that needed to be told. I mean, it was a very scary road. A guy who was afraid of a lot of things to then find power in fear, to find power in overcoming fear, and to get to where I'm at today where there's very few things I'm really afraid of because I know how to control it. I know how to manage it. I know how to work it to my advantage now. It's something else, man. So I really challenge people to really do a live autopsy on your brain. And the reason why I talk about my childhood so much in this, because I don't want you to put a title on me. Because once you title me as a freak, you now put yourself in a position where you can be very comfortable in saying, it's just not possible for me. The thing that makes me so pissed off in this world, man, the only thing that gets me mad nowadays is that so many people die with untapped potential because they think that someone else is fucking better than them. And they were born, you know, not with the greatest tools. You don't need shit. You need the ability to fucking grind your ass into a fine fucking powder. And when you're in that fine powder, find a way to build that motherfucker back up repeatedly. And it's possible.
You were bullied. Do you remember how many nights you spent by yourself in your fucking head thinking about what kind of piece of shit you were and how miserable that fucking was? That's exactly my drive. I know that there's not just me and you. There's millions and millions, especially nowadays, with all this fucking pressure, man. You can now bully a motherfucker on your phone. You know, back in our day, it was face to face. You can do everything over your phone. The pressures of trying to keep up with everything is at an all time high, and our mindsets are at an all time low. We are the weakest we've been mentally ever, since the beginning of time. And it's even harder. So it's harder with a weaker mind. So all I want to do, my whole drive is about, I have a really good way of visualizing people suffering. Because a lot of people do it. We have two sides of us. We have one side that is that happy-go-lucky side, that nothing's wrong and everything is good. But we have that side at home when no one's around that's depressed and miserable and we're not good enough. And whatever happened to you is real. So that's my drive. I want to make sure that I give people as much power as I can so when they get up every fucking morning, they know that, hey, I have the ability to not only survive in this world, but thrive in this world just by the mere fact of hearing about my story.